many of us in here, we don't doubt the veracity, the truth of the living God. No, we accept it. But many people oftentimes will verbalize a high view of Scripture, but they will deny God, they will deny His Scripture, they will deny the authority of the Scripture and the sufficiency of Scripture by their actions.
Welcome to Indigenous Faith with Craig and LaDonna Smith. For the next 30 minutes, we invite you to join Craig and LaDonna as they open God's Word and help Indigenous followers of Jesus Christ learn how to live a biblically healthy life in the context of their culture and tribal traditions. Craig is a member of the White Earth Band of Ojibwe Indians from northern Minnesota and is an author, public speaker, and gospel singer. LaDonna is from the Navajo Nation from the American Southwest. She is also a gifted singer and writer and a deeply committed student of God's Word. Together, they have served Christ for over 4 decades in a ministry that has taken them to Indigenous people all across North America and to a dozen countries around the world. Once again, thank you for joining us today for this week's edition of Indigenous Faith. And now, get ready to take a journey with Craig and LaDonna into God's Word to see what He has to say about living out an Indigenous faith that helps us all live lives that please Him and gives us power for victorious Christian living.
It is so good to be with you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this conference. God is blessing my soul and feeding me as much as He is you. I talked to my 8-year-old today on the phone, and he can't wait for Daddy to get home, and I can't wait to see him. But I want you guys to know that it is my joy and privilege to be with you, and I'm looking forward to what God continues to say to us during this conference time. Today, I want you to find the book of 2 Timothy. Find the book of 2 Timothy. Find chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. You might notice I grabbed a different stand, but this one too. Can't bear the weight. Maybe it'll hold up, buddy. I can't get too wild on it with it. I sure hope they edit these videos, because this pre-stuff, it's hard to be spiritual. It really is. It really is. But anyway, I've enjoyed the time together with you guys. My wife asked me if there are some mosquitoes here. I said, honey, they got mosquitoes that are as big as birds out here. And so I want to say to you that you ought to be so full of the Spirit that when a mosquito bites you, it flies off singing, "There's power in the blood." Amen. All right, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this thing. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is Paul's swan song. So this is the last thing that Paul wrote, as far as we know. This is the last chapter he wrote before he was made a foot shorter from the head down. And so Paul was about to be martyred for his faith, and he's writing to his son Timothy. And so rather than pick up chapter 4 in terms of application, I want you to back up to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verses 14 through 17. That's where we will jump in. And what I'm going to do, just to give you a little bit of an outline, by the way, at home, I'm an expository preacher, which means I preach verse by verse through passages of Scripture and through the Bible. And so what I want to do is I just want us to focus the rest of at least the middle part of these devotions on these four scriptures, and then I'll end, Lord willing, if He allows me to, Saturday with a little bit from chapter 4. So let's begin in chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Here's what Timothy said. He said, "You, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings." That Greek word there, those two Greek words are hierogrammata. Literally, it could be translated the holy letters. I don't know how your translation translates it, but literally he says that from a childhood you've known the holy letters of God, speaking of the scriptures, the sacred writings, which are able to give you, Paul says, the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's the big one. We'll not talk about it tonight, but a little bit tomorrow. All Scripture, that's every bit of it that was written then and would be completed a little bit later, everything from Genesis to the maps. All Scripture is theopneustos. It's God-breathed. My translation is, it is inspired by God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's go ahead. I can't help stop there. I can't stop there because the chapter and verse divisions were not put in the Bible till the Middle Ages. And so Paul continues to write, and I'll stop here in just a few verses. But he said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Preachers, listen to this. Who's to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside the myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Our Father, speak to our hearts. Whoever comes into contact with the words of these scriptures tonight, may your spirit just sit down, speak vividly to our hearts. I pray that, Lord, if there's somebody that's not been born again, that in the name of Jesus, you might even use tonight to show them that the scriptures are mighty to save, that you're a God who's mighty to save, Father. You're the God of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd save to the uttermost them that come to God through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, do that, Father. In your name we pray, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last night we talked about natural revelation seen in the skies. And I gave you Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God. And this morning we talked about special revelation. That's the revelation of God that's seen not in the skies, but seen in the scriptures. And you might remember one verse that I quoted, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword or scalpel. There's no doubt about that. Well, this evening, we start a series of thoughts on the sufficiency of scriptures, of the scriptures. And so oftentimes, men will verbalize a high view of scripture. I've been preaching now for over 25 years, and it's not uncommon to preach a pastor's conference or something like that. And it's very easy to elicit a number of amens from the audience when you simply talk about how awesome and powerful the scriptures are, and especially if you start using terminology like the scriptures are inspired by God, they're infallible, they're inerrant, and everybody says amen and hallelujah. And many of us ascribe as evangelical Christians, conservative Christians, we ascribe to a high view of scripture. And so, of course, Craig talked about that today. And so many of us in here, we don't doubt the veracity, the truth of the living God. No, we accept it. But many people oftentimes will verbalize a high view of Scripture, but they will deny God, they will deny His Scripture, they will deny the authority of the Scripture and the sufficiency of Scripture by their actions. And so they'll verbally say amen, that I believe the Word of God has authority and all authority in my life, when in the same breath they'll turn around and in their actions they'll deny the authority and the sufficiency of the Scriptures. So over the next three sessions, I want to give you three facts about the Word of God. And the first thing that I want you to see tonight is simply found in this text. And here's what the Bible says, that the Word of God is sufficient to save. And so I want you to look there in verses 14 and 15 with me tonight. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, you, Timothy, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, the holy letters of God, notice, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to know that last Mother's Day, I actually preached on this text. And here's the reason why I want our females, our ladies, and our moms to particularly pay attention during this time. Because one of the things that Timothy says here in terms of passing down a legacy to your kids is that a legacy of the scriptures was passed down to Timothy. And if you know about Timothy's mother and father, you know that she was the believer and were doubtful about whether Timothy's father was a believer. And so it was his mother and specifically his grandmother that gave him the sacred letters of God, that taught him the scripture. Hold your place there and just go back one page in my Bible, but go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 5. Look at what Paul says to young Timothy, his son in the faith. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. I'm going to come back to that word sincere. I can't help but feast on it in just a moment. But he says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well. And so there you have Lois and you have Eunice, and they passed down this sincere faith. They passed down the Word of God. They passed down the Scriptures to their son, Timothy, and their grandson, Timothy, in the faith. I love that word sincere there found in the first chapter and the fifth verse there. I love it. It's a wonderful word, studying it in the original and also just the English word for sincere. The English word is taken from two Latin words, sine, sera, which literally means without wax. Without wax. In fact, I started a young adult ministry in Tulsa, and the name of our young adult ministry back in the day was Sincera, sincere. Basically, it was called Without Wax Ministries. And here's the reason that Paul said that the kind of faith that was passed down to Timothy through his mother and grandmother was a sincere kind of faith. It was without wax. Here's the reason why he uses that terminology. In the first century, if you were to buy a piece of pottery, for example, or maybe a statue even, one of the things that might happen when a piece of pottery was being created, being made, is it might have a crack in it. Statue might be the same way. And so what a guy might do, what some shuckster might do when he has a crack in this piece of pottery or this statue that he's wanting to sell is he would take wax and he would put it in that crack, covering up that crack, and he would kind of sand over it so that to the eyeball, to the layman, if you will, it looked like it was without wax. It didn't look like it had wax on it or in it. It was sincere. It was without wax. And so one of the things that would happen is you'd get a piece of pottery like that home or get a statue home. You'd set that statue outside. And one of the Greek words literally means, it's translated sincere, it means sun tested, because here's what would happen. The sun would come out, or that pottery would get hot, and all of a sudden that wax would begin to pull away. And you'd see that the pottery you bought or that statue that you bought was not sincere. It was not without wax. It had wax in it. In other words, there was a facade placed within it. And so to be sincere is to be without wax. It's to be real. It's to be authentic. And in fact, the word hypocrisy carries with it the idea of putting on a mask. In the first century, they would have actors. One of them would go backstage. And they would come out and they would play a role. And the same actor would go backstage again in a different scene or a different act. And he would come out with a different mask and he would play a different role. Male, female, it didn't matter. Either way, he was changing masks, but it was the same actor. And that's what the word hypocrite means. That's what hypocrisy is. When you're not being sincere, you're putting on a mask. And what Paul is saying is that the kind of faith that was passed down to Timothy was a sincere, real, authentic kind of faith that was without wax. It was real. It was sun-tested. It was authentic. And it was one that was founded on the sacred writings of the living God. Go back to chapter 3. And look at what he says. He says, you, however, continue in the things you've learned. Of course, we know now that it was a sincere faith that was passed down to him by his mother and grandmother, that you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, and this is the beauty of it, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so what Paul is saying is that God was laying the foundation for Timothy's salvation even when he was a child. And as his mother and grandmother was teaching him the Word of God, God was depositing in him the Word of God so that when Timothy would come to a place where he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, Timothy, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the convincing power of the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, his soul then would be converted. In other words, I came to let you know that God's Word saves. That's why it is sufficient in all areas of our life. First of all, it's sufficient to save us. Timothy was saved because of the Word. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know the same is true today. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I love Romans chapter 10, verse 17. In fact, one of the things that my wife and I will do is we will pay attention to the clock, whether we're in a vehicle or wherever we're at. Anytime it is 10:17, and you'd be shocked how often I'm looking at the clock with my wife and it's 10:17, either a.m. or p.m. But one of the things that anytime that it's 10:17, specifically if it's me that sees it, I'll say, hey, Jen, look at the time, 10:17. And then I'll ask her a question. I'll say, honey, how does faith come? And the answer is hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, that's exactly true. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so, in other words, ladies and gentlemen, the new birth resides in the Scriptures. The new birth, the power of the new birth resides in the Word of God. I was a high school dropout. I was in trouble with the authorities. I was living an immoral life. When a black preacher from Chicago, hallelujah, black Pentecostal preacher, made some of you nervous right there, didn't I, when I mentioned he was Pentecostal. But he'd started a little storefront church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he witnessed to me, invited me to church. And for one of the first times in my life, I went to church without an ulterior motive. I didn't go to church because I was going to get to play on the basketball team. I didn't go to church because they were going to serve the kids pizza. I didn't go to church because I was going to get to go to camp. I didn't go to church because there was going to be a pretty girl there. No, God was drawing me. And I sat down on the second row. Jesse Joyner got up. He preached the Word of God. That afternoon, because you know how long Pentecostal services are, that afternoon they gave what we call an invitation. And I don't know how you guys do it in our church, but you know, in our typical church, in our denomination, basically we'll have pastors or deacons or something stand up, and we'll invite people to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not the way they operated in their day. Jesse, the pastor of the church, Jesse Joyner, he left the platform, stepped down, and he came and he stood right in front of me. And by the way, it wasn't hard to identify, number one, who the visitors were, because I was one of the only light-skinned people in the church. I brought one of my friends with me. But number two, you could tell just by looking at me that I was lost with my earrings and everything else I had. It wasn't hard to identify who needed the gospel in that particular service. But Jesse came and he stood right in front of me and he asked me this question. He said, do you want to be saved? Hallelujah. Friend, I want you to know those were like words to a man in the desert. That was like water to a man in the desert. That was like food to a person that was dying of starvation. I'm so glad he didn't ask me a theological question, because at that point I knew nothing about the Bible. He didn't ask me, hey, what's your position on soteriology or eschatology or any other ology? I had no positions on anything. Here's what I knew when I got saved. I knew I was a sinner. Jesus was the Savior. And amen, hallelujah, that worked. And so I said, do you want to be saved? And the reason that he set that question up and the reason I was able to understand that question is because he had been preaching from the Word of God. I was convicted by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God convicts men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And what does the Holy Spirit of God do when he moves upon somebody in conversion? He takes the sword of the Spirit, the sword that he inspired, the sword that he illuminates, and he applies it to a sinner's life. He pierces that sinner with conviction, and then he woos to salvation. And so, in that moment, God broke me. I was a hardened young man. I very rarely cried growing up, even in all of the fights that I'd been in and all of the things that I'd been through. But I want you to know that day, God broke me, and tears began to run down my cheeks. And in that moment, I saw myself the way God saw me, as a sinner. And I remember just lunging forward. Now, Jesse Joyner was a heavy-set African-American man. He had on probably a $500 suit, which, again, you got to know black Pentecostals. I mean, he had on a black and white polka-dotted tie that matched his wife's hat. But listen, it didn't matter, because I just lunged forward. I grabbed a hold of his broad shoulders. I cried all over that $500 suit. And we took about 2 or 3 steps, because we were in a little storefront church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, this place is it's a palace compared to that place that I got saved in. We got down on our faces, and I just simply prayed a prayer like this. I just said, God, I'm a sinner. Save me. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, if you ever have a slick evangelist come in and make you doubt your salvation because you didn't pray the prayer, then friend, I want you to know you need to run as far from that kind of theology and that kind of talk as far as you can. Because here's the reason why. There is no sinner's prayer necessarily in the Scripture. Did you know that? I mean, a parrot can repeat words. It's not about repeating the words of a pastor or shaking the pastor's hand. You got to get a hold of the hand, not of the pastor, but of the master. And this is what it looks like. You just call out to God to save you. I just said, God, I'm a sinner, save me. Like Peter, who was sinking in the water, that just cried out. He didn't have time to go get a theological education and impress God with his theological verbiage. He just said, Lord, I'm sinking, save me. And Jesus reached down. That man on the cross that was dying next to the Lord Jesus, he just said, Lord, be merciful to me when you come into your kingdom. And that saved him. In the parable that Jesus told, he said, there's a man standing at the back of the temple that wouldn't even approach God like the Pharisee, but he beat upon his chest and he simply said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said, that man went home justified. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, it's not about the prayer itself. It's about the condition of the heart. And so the Bible says in the book of Romans that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the gospel. And oh, by the way, what is the gospel? The gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is contained in the Scriptures. And so I heard the Scriptures. God convicted me and God drew me to himself. And I got down on my face and I said, God, I'm a sinner, save me. And hallelujah, the Holy Spirit of God indwelt me in that very moment, regenerated me, made me alive by the Spirit of Christ. And I got down a violent man, but I got up a young man, hallelujah, that was full of a peace that surpassed all understanding. I got down an angry young man, but I want you to know I stood up. And I had a love that was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit of God that no one could explain. Friend, I want you to know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Hallelujah. And all of that is orchestrated by the Holy Spirit of God using the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of the living God. The power does not reside in the preacher. The power resides in the Word of God. And so you and I can have confidence today, not in our delivery, not in our rhetoric or anything else. You and I can have confidence today in the Word of God. And so God then called me to preach. Hallelujah, by His grace. And the rest is history. And so I'm nothing more than a trophy of God's grace. That is just one sinner telling another sinner about where you can find salvation, all rooted in the Word of God. Timothy was saved because of the sacred writings, which made him and gave him the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's what I'm simply trying to say tonight in this short devotion. The power of God resides in salvation in the Word of God. And so we can rest in it. We can trust it that it is going to do its work. It is sufficient to save. One of the leaders for our international mission board in the denomination that I happen to be a part of was in a third world country. And one of the things they were doing is they were passing out those Gideon New Testaments. And I don't know how much, you know, you guys know about the Gideons, the ones that give the Bibles out, but they were giving out those little Gideon New Testaments where people were coming from everywhere to get these little Gideon New Testaments. And they were asking for them. That's how hot these Gideon New Testaments were. Well, this particular leader said he realized the reason that they were asking for these Gideon New Testaments. You know how thin the paper is in those Gideon New Testaments. What they were doing is they were taking those Gideon New Testaments and they were ripping out the pages and they were making cigarettes out of those New Testament pages. And so people were like, man, hey, I want one of those. I want one. And by the way, not sure that was all tobacco either, by the way. But regardless, they were using those Gideon New Testaments. And so particular leader, again, from our International Mission Board, realized why they were asking for it. And this guy comes up to him and says, hey, can I have a Gideon New Testament? He said, look, I'll give you one of these. I'll give you this Bible, but you got to make me a promise. He said, you promise me that before you tear out a page and use it, smoke it and use it. He said, you promise me you'll read that page. Okay. Guy promised him he would, and he gave him the New Testament. Well, they went on with their mission trip. Literally a year passed, and they came back to that area to visit, doing more ministry again. And he had forgotten about that conversation that he had with that man. And all of a sudden, this man approaches him and reminds him, say, hey, do you remember last year you made me promise that if I was going to tear out one of those pages and use it to roll a cigarette, that I would read that page? And then he remembered, yeah, I do remember that. He said, well, let me just tell you something, preacher. This is exactly what happened. He said, first of all, I smoked through Matthew. He said, then I smoked through Mark. Then he said, I came to John chapter 3 and I read that verse where the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but would have everlasting life. And he said, I couldn't go a moment longer without dropping my head right there and giving my life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Friend, I want you to know, there is power in the Word of God. It is sufficient to save. Hallelujah. And you and I can trust it. We can live by it. We can preach by it. Everything. It is sufficient for us in all kinds of ministry that God might call us to do. God bless you.
Thank you for joining Craig and LaDonna Smith and the Indigenous Faith Podcast. We trust today's episode has been an encouragement to you and helpful to you as you grow in faith as a follower of Jesus Christ. You can subscribe to this weekly broadcast and receive notifications when the next episodes are available. Simply follow the prompts on the tribalrescue.com website or the podcast platform you're using to sign up today. Don't forget to visit the Smiths' website, tribalrescue.com, to learn more about the Smiths and Tribal Rescue Ministries. Be sure to visit their online store, where you can find more Indigenous faith resources, including Craig's 6-part DVD video series, and his 6-part audio CD version of the same teaching. Also, Craig takes you deeper into the scriptures in his recently released Indigenous Faith paperback book, which will help you learn the secrets to a strong Indigenous faith. All these resources, and other great books authored by Craig and LaDonna, can be accessed at their online store when you visit tribalrescue.com. The Smiths are dependent on the financial support of those who are benefiting from their teaching, preaching, and music ministry. Craig and LaDonna would like to ask you to consider supporting this ministry through your online giving, which you can easily and safely do on the tribalrescue.com website as well. You can also make your gift recurring if you so desire. If you'd like to support Craig and LaDonna, it will help them keep this podcast on the air, help them produce more books and resources, and enable them to continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ among people groups around the world. We'll see you next week, dear friends, on another edition of the Indigenous Faith Podcast. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you as you live out your own God-honoring, and biblically based, Indigenous faith.